I was reading earlier this morning some of the commentaries of the fathers of the church on this passage, and I was struck mostly by the things we don't notice because our own hearts are not very pure or very sensitive. A lot of them picked up, for instance, how this is a demonic temptation, Satan using the Pharisees. Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. All right, then I'll perform a sign. Vanity. Temptation, you know, to, I want to win these fellows over. You see. Just as other times they tempt him to anger. And they come up with these, why do your disciples do this? Or why do your disciples do that? And Jesus never responds with anger. He responds with love. To win them over. And here, he's harsh. Because this is so insidious. Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. What kind of a sign would ever convince them of what Jesus is saying? None. So he said to them, an evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign. The other dimension of seeking a sign is force me to believe. Do something so great and so marvelous that I have to believe. But you see, the heart of faith is love. Yielding to God's light out of love for God. You can't be forced to believe. It's a work of God. It's a gift. And the heart of it is love, not agreement to a proposition. No sign in the world can bring anybody to faith. None. Does that mean the Lord does not want us to work signs and wonders? He does. But these signs are a beckoning of love. Very few of us move mountains, but we can pray over those for healing, and people see His love. This is very important, and I think we could all apply it to our lives as well. You know. Think of a couple married 40, 50 years in a really strong, solid, loving marriage. How many signs do they need? They don't need signs. That's very important to realize. We don't need signs. We have Jesus. And we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Those who don't believe need signs. And we should knock ourselves out to be holy enough to be able to perform these signs and bring them to Christ. But you see, if somebody is not sensitive in their own spirit, they'd never pick up that this is a demonic temptation. Just, we'd like to see a sign. Only those whose own lives are beginning to be modeled on Christ can get that level of Scripture. It's a call to us. As I read these men this morning, I was thinking, holiness of life. Profound, sometimes astoundingly profound intellects, but also anointing. Anointing. Chrysostom is one who says, you know, what are they doing here? They're tempting him to vanity. They want to make him slip up. That's what they're after. So then there is this remark about Jonah in the belly of the whale. Jesus may have prophesied that, or maybe it was put as an after sign when the Gospels were composed. The Holy Spirit told them, put this in. But the sign is the sign of the preacher of repentance. That's who Jonah is in the Jewish tradition. The book of Jonah is read on the feast of Yom Kippur. Jonah went and preached to a whole city full of pagans, and they all repented. Now, he was so narrow-minded, he was mad that they repented. He wanted them to get punished. You remember that? And so he's out sitting under a gourd. And the Lord has a little worm eat the gourd. And he's in a terrible mood. And God said, why are you in such a mood? You know. That gourd withered, which you could never have made in the first place. And you're upset. And I should not care about a city of 150,000 who can't tell their right hand from their left. You're upset about the wrong things, Jonah. Your heart is not like mine. You're upset about the wrong things. Be worried about these people who don't know, can't repent, who are stuck in sin. Be worried about them. Not about this gourd. But in the Jewish tradition, he is the preacher of repentance. So that's why Jesus says of himself, the sign of Jonah. I've come to call you back to righteousness, to leave off your sin and accept the gift of the kingdom, which is breaking in my very person. And then, at this time or at another, he had another one of these. The Queen of the South came to hear Solomon's wisdom. And there's a greater than Solomon right here. Every day I teach you, and I am the Word of God. Every day I talk to you as I walk in your streets, and I am the Word of God. A challenge. Well, we could reflect on this too, couldn't we? We're reading all the latest and greatest, and here is the Word of God. Well, I don't like it. It's a little hard to read. You know, I don't understand it all the time. And then when I do understand it, it's convicting me of my sin, so I don't want to read that. See, we're reading this and that and the other thing, the big theologians. I mean, I do it all day. But there's a greater than that right here. And so, I think the Lord is saying, look, come to me in peace and in trust and in love. I've given you all the signs you need. Now rest with me and love me and trust me. And if your life is sometimes dark and you're not having a lot of bells and whistles, trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. Can you trust me that much?